From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing to study the life and earthly ministry of Christ, Dr. Cairns is preaching on the subject, The Entrance of a King, Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as recorded in Luke chapter 19. As the people proclaim the Lord Jesus, the King of Israel, Dr. Cairns points out that this title refers to Christ not just as some earthly monarch, but it emphasizes that He is Israel's God. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to speak of April Fools.
Many of you will hear this program in the morning before you set out for work or school. So let me remind you, this is April the 1st, commonly known as April Fool's Day. I don't know that there are many original April Fool's jokes anymore. I think that most of them have been doing their rounds for so many years that most people are on their guard against them. Your kids will use them and laugh at them as if they'd just been invented. And the amazing thing is that they will always get some poor character to fall for them. We were the same when we were young. Back in Belfast, Northern Ireland, I have no doubt that the telephone at Bellevue Zoo will ring today, as it does every April 1st. And a parade of people will say they're returning a call from Mr. C. Lyon. I have to admire the patience and politeness of the staff as they deal with a new batch of April Fools. At least they can laugh and be thankful that it usually happens only in this one day of the year. Though, mind you, that puzzles me, for I would imagine that more people would fall for it if they found a memo on their desk any other day saying that C. Lyons would like them to return a call. All this set me thinking about fools. Not April fools, real fools. There are different biblical words that are translated fool. There's one that we should be careful not to employ lightly. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 5:22. Whosoever shall say, and the context is say to his brother, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Here the Greek word translated fool is moros, and it is the equivalent of the Hebrew words nabal, or perhaps more, both of which carry the idea of a wicked reprobate, destitute of all spiritual or divine knowledge. Clearly, this is not a term to throw around lightly. In fact, the man who does so proves himself to be the real fool, for only a fool would ignore the words of the Son of God and so place himself in danger of hell fire. The Bible gives us various examples of egregious fools. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. What makes his folly so obvious is that every man has God's law written on his heart. To deny God, a man has to deny the very root of his being. He is also to commit intellectual suicide. To deny his creator, he has to believe that all that exists came into being out of nothingness, for no reason, and with no intelligent force behind it. If that sounds crazy, it's because it is crazy. Atheism is the ultimate madness. Atheists may be educated, cultured, and accomplished, but they are fools. God says so. They're not the only fools. If he is a fool who denies that God is, how much greater is the fool who knows that God is, but lives as if he did not exist? What about the type of man of whom the Lord Jesus spoke in Luke's Gospel chapter 12? You remember, the man whom God prospered so much that he wondered what he would do with his bumper crops. He soon decided. He would tear down his barns and build greater. He would say to himself, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had no thought of God, of Christ, or of eternity and where he would spend it. He was wrapped up in this world, its possessions, and its pleasures. In fact, he was just like most people today. But Jesus called him a fool. He was within a few hours of death, and he was so ignorant of his mortality that he gave no heed to the needs of his soul. He was a fool of the worst order. So let me ask you, on this April Fool's Day, are you playing the fool and playing for real? The scripture says, Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Their cries soon were rending the heavens as they cried, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." We learn from the other Gospels, and you must not think that this was simply something said in the time it takes me to read this. This was an ongoing exaltation, thus the various definitions and descriptions of what they said in the four Gospels. They said, "Blessed be the King." They cried, "Hosanna," a quotation from the 118th Psalm, where it means, "Save, Lord." Hosanna in the highest. There was this constant, glorious rejoicing in the entrance of Christ the King, the Messianic monarch, into the holy city of Jerusalem. Most people were totally carried away with the emotions of the moment. However, there were a few bitter Pharisees who were there, and they complained to the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Master, rebuke your disciples." I'm very tempted to get off on a tangent here. That's the cry of the world all the time. Rebuke the Christians. Rebuke the disciples. You can have some drug-infested, filthy, immoral rock group corrupting the youth of the nation. You can have rap so-called artists singing about rape and pillage and murder. And they are celebrated with awards for musical talent and cultural brilliance. But when Christians start to sing the praises of their Savior, oh, shut them up! You know, the world hasn't changed any. Rebuke your disciples. The Lord Jesus, far from rebuking them, said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. It would seem here as if the whole creation, therefore, was joined in this glorious note of praise. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful occasion. I wish I had the descriptive powers of an archangel to transport you from Greenville in 2004 and set you back in Jerusalem around AD 29 and let you feel the atmosphere, the electric atmosphere, as people were just hoisted toward heaven in their souls and they were overcome with this tremendous emotion. But soon, they reached a turn in the road when, skirting around the mount, they found the whole city of Jerusalem lying open to their view. It's still, to this day, a breathtaking sight. And as they saw, where you would expect the crowds to rise even higher in their emotion, and if the critics were right that the Lord Jesus had been carried away, if their blasphemy had even the slightest hint of truth about it, this is the time when it would have risen up to a higher level of emotion. But he stopped. Looking over the city, he wept and he lamented. Remember in Bethany, he had wept at the grave of Lazarus in sympathy with the mourners. In Gethsemane, very soon, he would weep in agony. But here, over Jerusalem, he wept in horror at the prospect of the terrible sufferings that lay just ahead of this city and its people. For the Lord Jesus knew that despite all this excitement, in a few days, in this very city, he would be rejected. And there he would die the death of the cross. And he knew that the cost of that rejection for Jerusalem and her people would be both deadly and of prolonged duration. And thus, he lamented. And he was right to weep. Who, knowing what Jesus knew, who wouldn't weep at the vision of the destruction of a great people? A few days later, a crowd would again gather around him in Jerusalem. This time, outside the palace of Antonia, where the Roman governor resided. And there they would cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him! His blood be on us and on our children." That was a fateful day that proved that Christ had been right to weep. When, some 40 years later, the Roman General Titus and his armies reduced Jerusalem to rubble and butchered and banished and branded as slaves her citizens, It was clear that the Savior's grief had not been misplaced, but it was equally clear that his warning had gone unheeded. And that was a tragedy of epic proportions, the echoes of which are being heard, and the results of which are being felt in Israel to this day, and even by the Jewish people around the world. Today, I want to combine these two strands in our narrative, the strands of triumph and tragedy, as we think of the entrance of the king, the reactions that it provoked, and the results that it produced. You see, there's a whole lot more than history here. There's something that's both timeless and personal, because you and I today have to deal with Jesus Christ the King just as truly as ever the Jews had to deal with him at that time. There are three things that stand out in our narrative, and I think they will lead us to consider the only possible responses that man can make to God's anointed. Here we have the entrance of the king, and we're going to look at him entering the city of Jerusalem, and we're going to think of the king revealed. It's one of the most fascinating themes in the gospel, the king revealed. We're going to think of the king recognized, and finally the king rejected. First of all, the revelation, the king revealed. In Matthew's account of this event, we read in chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, "All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." Notice carefully, this was done, that the prophecy, and this is really a joining of two prophecies. There's an allusion to Isaiah 62, but the bulk of the prophecy here is a direct quotation from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. So he's saying, this was done that Zechariah's prophecy might be fulfilled. Thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of the ass. This is the character then in which the Lord Jesus Christ chose to enter Jerusalem publicly for the last time. This is his great public declaration. Now, he was in and out, back and forth to Bethany in the next little while. But nonetheless, this great final public presentation of himself was in this particular character. Remember what the scriptures call Jerusalem. It is the city of the great king. That's the title of the city of Jerusalem. The city of the great king. Now the Lord Jesus is publicly proclaiming, I am that great king. And as he does so, you'll see that he reveals, first and foremost, his true identity and his divine dignity. The king of Israel, ultimately, is a title of the Lord. It's a title of God. It can be none other than God himself. Kings such as David and Solomon and the rest of the kings of Israel and Judah, kings such as they reigned in the name of the Lord. They ruled by God's authority. And that very fact emphasized that God was the true king. And this is something that the Old Testament scriptures emphasize again and again. We turn to Isaiah, for example, in chapter 33 and verse 22. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. In chapter 44 of Isaiah, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. This is a title of the Lord God. Malachi 1 verse 14, he says, I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now I quote these Old Testament texts so that you may be able to put what we have been reading in the context that the Jews would have been able to see it. The King of Israel is not a mere earthly personage. The King of Israel is Israel's God. And when the Lord Jesus came in to the city of the great king proclaiming, I am the King of Israel, which is evidently and obviously what he intended to do. He was staking his claim. He was making his statement that he is truly and essentially and eternally God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.